And then they saw me in a bra, and that was it.
What's going on, Pearl Jam nerds? You're listening to Single Podcast Theory. I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek.
Episode 140, Quick Escape. We're returning to our once a month covering in order a song from the new record, Gigaton. And this week it's Quick Escape.
Yeah, so. I mean, without the tour, you know, all we've got in the Gigaton era is these songs to talk about.
Yeah. And it's given us a little bit of time to sit with them. You know, mm-hmm. we did the full album episode, but, you know, for us, some of those songs were like, I'd only heard them twice. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The cool thing is, you know, whatever, 2 months later, is that I'm still super, super psyched about this album.
Oh, for sure, man. Absolutely. I listen to it all the time. And we were talking earlier, like, I know it's because it's so new and it's still so exciting to have this new record and a new record, not just a new record, but a new, what I think is a great record.
Mm-hmm.
And I catch myself, like, driving down the road and listening and thinking about all the other records. I'm like, man, fuck everything between Yield and Gigaton. Fuck it. Which,
yeah,
I love those records, but
right,
it's just so.
Yeah, but I don't, again, it could be because it's brand new, but I feel like these songs, this album just feels a little different, you know, a notch above, you know, the last two or three albums. It's
yeah.
just like those Backspacer and Avocado kind of sound like samey,
mm-hmm.
you know, but this album is like each song is its own little thing.
I think there was an element that I didn't realize at the time, but with Avocado, Backspacer, Lightning Bolt, it almost started feeling like, okay, well, we know what we're going to get from our Pearl Jam record now.
Right.
This is where they are now. You know what I mean? This is where they've kind of
mm-hmm.
not ended, but ended up, at least for the time period. And this was just...
And that was okay. Like,
I love,
like you said, I love those albums. Yep. I love listening to most of that stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I didn't get the feeling that I get when I listen to Gigaton. Of this is like on a different level.
It's another like huge step in growth, I feel like.
Yeah, totally.
Have I mentioned how much I love Josh Evans?
You have, but okay, look.
Cool. I just want to make sure that that's
out there.
You can say it. And especially...
It doesn't hurt.
This is a song that I especially love the sound of this song. How
yeah,
just grimy and gross... In a good way, everything sounds.
It's got like a spacey, gritty sound to it.
Yeah. We'll get into all that stuff. Good angry song.
Yeah.
Good classic angry Pearl Jam song or angry sounding song, which matches how everyone's probably
times.
Feeling this week.
Yes, totally. The times we live in.
It's been another shitty week. I don't know, man. I mean, obviously, we're talking about the George Floyd thing, and we're not going to ramble on about it. I think if you have listened to this podcast more than a few times or gotten to know us, as we've gotten to know some of you over 140 episodes, you know exactly how we feel about this, right? I mean, and it's not new. It's this happening so blatantly, you know, and it's just a matter of everyone feeling sick and tired of this happening over and over and over and over again. So we obviously share in that feeling and that anger and frustration, even though I'm not a person that's ever going to have to worry about that in my life or ever has. And I, you know, obviously I recognize that, but it doesn't mean I don't feel it. And I think I can speak for you in that. But unfortunately, it's something that I think we just have to go through. You know what I mean? For it to actually change. We can't just be complacent and hearing about this happening in another city in the country that's far away. You know what I mean? Minneapolis is far away from me. New York is far away from me. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen where I live too, but these news stories are just a representation of what's happening all over the place. And we got to figure it out or else we're going to have, it's, I don't know. It's rough. And we definitely, our hearts go out to everyone who's directly involved in all this or have lost somebody in it. You know, the family of George Floyd. But we're just going to, and do you have anything you want to add? I kind of took over there.
No, I mean, I totally agree. And yeah, you do speak for me as well. So, but you know, we wanted to address it, but we also don't want to dwell on it because I think, hopefully a lot of people listen to this show to kind of get away from that, this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we don't want to, I mean, I do. I've been looking forward to doing the show as a way to kind of escape what my week has been like.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Totally agreed. Yeah. It would just be weird to not say something, but.
Right.
But that's it.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Just like ignore it. Yeah.
Everything's when great, it's like, right? Been,
yeah. Yes, yeah.
Anyway.
Everything's great.
Economy is doing great. Mm-hmm, unemployment's great. Everyone's feeling great.
Yes.
But you know what we have? Or, you know, for me, I've had two amazing gifts from people. One being Gigaton on vinyl from Jesse. Bagel just did like this random act of kindness thing and sent me the Orpheum show on vinyl. Mm-hmm. And man, I tell you what, to not focus on all these terrible things that we're not going to talk about for the rest of the show, that's been those little things like that, just being able to sit down with a new record or new vinyl and flip through the artwork and just not have my phone in front of me or a computer in front of me with Pro Tools up and just sit and listen to these records on wax has been a huge help for me in keeping my mental shit together, as it were. So thank you guys so much for that.
Totally. And I just want to thank Bagel also for you.
Yeah, man.
Because when I saw that you posted, when I saw that, I was like, oh, I'm so happy for you, you know, and thankful towards him. So
yeah, it was such a small thing, man. But I emailed him and it was just like, man, there's no other way to say it. Like, you made me feel real happiness when I opened that thing up. When I saw the box there and I was like, what is this? Because it had my name on it. And then it just said Bogle on the top with a New York address. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Opened it up and it was just like so happy that like he thought to do that. And then so happy for when everyone went to bed and I could put that thing on my turntable.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nice, man.
I have a copy. So I was listening to it like in your honor, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw you post it. I was like, hell yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, ooh, Orpheum Brothers.
But I think that's another, I think no matter what, this record is great. But I think that's another reason I've been enjoying this record so much is that it has been just like their records were when I was young were such an escape for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's returned to that again in a real way with this record.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Again, that's like, that's what I'm trying to say with like Backspacer and Lightning Bolt. As much as I enjoy those albums, I remember listening to them for the first few like days or few weeks and not having that like eureka feeling.
Yeah.
But with Gigaton, I do. It just feels like a different, you know, it's a different level.
It's special. Like it or don't like it, it's a special record. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're going to get back into that with some Quick Escape. What else we got? Should we just get straight into emails?
Yeah. Why don't we?
Yeah, let's do it. All right, who's starting us off? That's you today, isn't it?
Yes, I am going to start off.
Okay.
With Warren. Sorry.
Oh, we never talked. I didn't get a text. Did you not like all my bleeps and bloops on the last episode?
Oh, that was amazing. Yeah, dude, that was perfect. Yeah, that whole episode was kind of hilarious.
People,
because with that and then the way it ended with the my
train
voice
wreck
going in and out. Yeah. Yes.
The total train wreck.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
See, people often ask, like, Brad, what does it mean to produce a podcast?
Hmm.
It's not just, you know, throwing in a clip of something. It's taking a complete disaster of a joke and turning it into something hopefully funny instead of having to cut out all that information.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Oh, man, that was fun. There's something really satisfying about just doing old school censorship beeps.
Yeah.
Why is it?
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, it's almost like poop jokes. It's just always funny still. It shouldn't be. It's so dumb and overused or whatever, but it's still just funny to me. Oh, God, did I lose you?
No, I'm here. I'm agreeing with you.
It got real quiet.
I was looking at something on my phone that I sent you. Those people, I can't even talk. It's the line, the family. It's like three or four girls and then like their dad.
I mean, it's
and like
funny, but can't stop it's, laughing. Again, we're talking, dude, we're having a conversation about something that they don't know what it is.
Well, it's a GIF that I saw, and it's a family of five or six people, and they're all lined up, you know, like one after the other, and the camera is looking at each one of their faces, and the one girl starts like dent, 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 like back and forth, yeah, left to right, and then the next
alternate
girl starts, and they all start alternating. Dude, it's so funny. It's so funny if you like just look at their faces, and I don't know. It's completely stupid. Like, yeah. I get that it's totally dumb.
Right.
But it just, I could not stop watching it. I couldn't stop watching it and just laughing.
I love imagining that.
And, like, the first two girls, like, the first girl has this, like, just a smile on her face of like, oh, get ready. Just wait.
You guys,
like,
don't even know what you're about to see.
You know, yes. You don't know how funny this is going to be. And then the man, there's a man, I guess it's probably like the dad. He's like in a purple flannel. And the way he's doing it is the funniest part. Because he's like got like no, like, you know, flow. He's totally
stiff. Jerky.
Yeah. It's so great.
Oh man.
So that didn't, no, it didn't do it for you?
No, not really. Well, I think if you had just, if it had been one of those things that you just send me and don't say anything, like, I'd be like, okay, that's one of Brad's stupid guesses.
I hyped it.
But you said, a period after every word, I can't stop laughing. And I'm like, no, this isn't I can't stop laughing level.
Well,
I'm sure you're going to post it on our social now that we've talked about it.
I am.
Everyone can decide.
I need to. Right.
But otherwise, weren't we going to do an email?
Yeah. Yes. Are we ready for emails?
Yeah, I think we've been ready.
We have a new listener, Brad Lyons.
Yes, we do.
You know what we didn't talk about?
What?
The socials. Do we need to clip that in? Sure.
If you want to email the podcast, the email address is singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. We're on all the social medias, so hey, say hey over there. And if you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com, patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory. Boom.
Speaking of emails and Patreon, Patreon sent us a little email basically saying if you're a patron, they're going to start taxing your pledges. So we just wanted to pass that information on to all our patrons that they're going to start taxing you. And apparently they're going to be sending people an email in June, but they wanted to let, what are we, creators? Is that what we're considered?
I think that's what they call us.
Are we influencers?
No,
is that,
don't.
They sent an email out to all their influencers to let their, to let the little people know that they're going to start taxing them.
Yeah, the little ones.
The minions. So yeah, look for that coming in June. But I don't get, I mean, it says, you know how taxes are. It depends where you live and all sure. This crap. So
well, thanks for the info.
I just wanted to let people know so they weren't like, what? How dare you?
Yeah, take a look at that. And if you need to adjust, do so accordingly.
Yeah, we love you guys. Seriously, I was thinking about this. The patrons, like we really, really appreciate you guys supporting the show and us and all that good stuff. Cause just that, especially this time in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. It's been a big help in many, many different ways. So
yeah, totally. All right. Email, new listener, Brad. We got a new listener.
Boom.
His name's Warren. Hey, Brads, I'm a new listener, and you guys are the first podcast I've ever listened to. The first podcast.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome because you know what? You can only go up from here.
That's so true, man.
I love the show, especially the album episodes, and anytime you rank stuff. I'm listening to the episodes randomly and hope to get caught up soon. I first heard the band when my sister brought home a copy of No Code. I didn't pay too much attention at the time because I thought anything that my sister liked can't be that good. Then my brother brought Yield home 2 years later and played it constantly. I remember loving Given to Fly, Wishlist, and Do the Evolution. Then 2 years later, I asked for Live on Two Legs for Christmas, and that's when I was hooked. I've loved the band ever since. Keep up the good work. Now, some random musings. Favorite album, No Code. Hell yeah.
Yep.
Favorite song, Nothing Man. Least favorite album, but still love, Riot Act. Favorite lyric, have you ideas on how this life ends? Checked your hands and studied the lines. Have you the belief that the road ahead ascends off into the light? Cheers during these endless miles, a never destination, just more denials. Warren Kaiser.
Thanks, Warren.
Yeah, dude.
I like that. Favorite song, Nothing Man.
That's not one you hear.
No, I love it. I listened to that song yesterday. I listened to, I had to drive half an hour one way to my buddy's house that I borrowed camping gear from to return it to him. And so right. I just put on Vitology and listened to it all the way through. And I hadn't heard that song in a really long time. And it really took me back for some reason when I listened to it yesterday. It was pretty great.
Yeah, I've told you I don't listen to the studio albums that much.
Right.
So every once in a while I'll throw one on and it's just like, this shit is amazing.
Dude, man.
it's really like a nostalgia bomb, you know, because like I said, I listen to the live stuff so much, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I haven't listened to, you know, Versus in forever, and it just takes me right back, you know, to when it first came out.
Yeah, for sure. I remember the first time hearing him go up that high octave on the second verse, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, Neil Young.
Yeah.
Easy, Neil Young.
I like that he touches on what we were talking about earlier, like his least favorite album, but he still loves is Riot Act.
Yeah,
like
for
sure. We've been saying that forever. Like we do. We really do love all these albums. So
I mean, I know there's people that would disagree outside of this community, I guess, but like I just feel that it's empirical, it's objective, that they do not have a bad record. They just don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't, which it's wild because, I mean, I don't know. Off the top of my head, I can't think of another band that I love every single album. Like it's, maybe Zeppelin, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
It's that, but it's that high up on the level.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But like, I mean, you know, we've talked about it before. Metallica is... I mean, they're right up there with Pearl Jam.
I would agree with
but
that.
But I mean, I don't.
But
love
Pearl Jam doesn't
Saint
have a Saint Anger.
They don't. They don't. They don't even have like a Load. I know you probably like Load and Reload. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't love those albums.
But they're good
I like
records.
A few songs.
It's just you don't.
They're
like
They're good
them.
Records, but I don't like. Yeah.
Right. Like I don't like Steely Dan, but I know they're great.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it's wild.
Thanks for listening and thanks for the email, Warren.
Yeah, appreciate man. I'm glad I told him I'm glad he found us.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we got an email, two more emails. I got one here from Brian Cohen. He says the title is Boston 3-7-11-03. Hey, Brad. So wrote in last week as a new listener, and I'm looking through your episodes to see if you've covered this show. I didn't mention it in my first email. I'm from Connecticut and have been lucky enough to see Pearl Jam in Hartford for some amazing shows. But I saw one that turned out to be bigger than most, and it's kind of a long story, but here it goes. I'll say I was born in 1980, but as a teen, I didn't have the means to see Pearl Jam. Then after a debacle in 98, they banned Hartford. So in 2003, when I heard they were adding a third show to Mansfield, Massachusetts, I knew I had to make it. One problem. July 12th was my daughter's first birthday party. No problem. I'll make it work. So as you know, Mansfield 3, they came out two hours early to do an acoustic set because they said over the three Boston shows, they'd play their entire catalog. I didn't know. I'm sitting in Providence traffic, just 30 minutes from Mansfield, and my buddy who's there calls me and says, get here right now, they're playing. I was freaking out. I've waited forever to see them, and now I'm getting screwed. I get there just as they get off the stage. I miss the acoustic set. Mm. I was so mad, I thought my night was going to be shit. But after Slater Kenny, I sat and tried to chill out. Then the drums for Can't Keep started, and everything was fine. Got to see them playing Mankind. How could everything not be fine after that? Of course.
Yeah.
I know, right? It's like we got to see Goat on night two.
Right, yeah. Evil little goat.
Yeah. Where was I? Of course, on the drive home, the two-hour drive home, a wall of fog sets in. Took me 3 hours to get home. Went to bed around 3:30 a.m., got up at 9 a.m. and set up the cookout for my daughter. Amazing. Wouldn't trade that experience for anything. Saw them in Hartford a few more times after they lifted the ban, then saw them at Fenway 2 years ago. Just wanted to share my story and hoping to hear a recap of that amazing show. Thanks for reading. Thanks for writing, Brian. We should cover that
dude,
show.
Another new listener.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we do. We need to do that whole three show arc because they did play almost everything in their whole catalog. So
hell yeah, man. I'm that guy too that okay, if I can just get home by the time everyone gets up in the morning and I'll just be miserable the next day, I can make this work.
Yeah,
I can do both things.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I've done that where like, okay, if I can get home by this time and then sleep for 4 hours. If I can just do that,
yeah,
it'll be worth it, you know?
And everyone else in my life is like, you're an insane person.
Yeah. And I'm like, with my job, I'm like, I like to drive. Like, most of the time, I want to drive.
Me too.
I don't like being in the passenger seat. But sometimes I'll go to a show, and the next morning I'll be like, look, dude, you got to drive today. I can't. Mm-hmm. I don't want to drive. Mm-hmm. Like, it's for your safety, too.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a little dozy.
Yeah.
Lazy, sleepy. Thanks again, Brian.
Yeah, dude. Thank you. All right, we got one more. Amy Wynn. She says, have you guys ever considered doing a series of episodes about the various relationships between the guys? I always think that Mike and Jeff are the happy buds. Jeff and Eddie are tight, simpatico. Stone and Eddie are probably too similar to have an easy friendship, though they probably respect the hell out of each other. And that Matt is there for everyone. Sliced apples and orange segments. Boom, never a problem with Boom. Ocean Sense. Would be a cool series, Amy.
Yeah,
I don't know if we do a whole episode on this, but I think it is an interesting thing to talk about.
Yeah, I've always been interested in what the dynamic is between everybody, because
yeah,
especially if you've ever been in a band, you can kind of, if you've been in a couple bands, you can kind of look at every band and go, oh, I know who that guy is. I've been in a band with that guy. And then there's that guy. You know what I mean? You can kind of see their personalities and how they all fit together. But
it's such a crazy dynamic to think about. Because like when I was a kid, you know, you think it's like the Monkees. They all live in a house together and they're best friends, you know? And as I'm older now, I mean, I guess it's not like that at all. But I can't, like, I go back to this all the time. And every time I hear, like, Glorified G, I don't understand. Like, Eddie wrote a song, I mean, at best making fun of and at worst attacking his drummer about his thoughts on guns. And it's like, A, how do you stay in a band with a guy that, like, you know, can't stand you? You know what I mean? And like, B, like, how do you play a song that is literally about making fun of you and your worldview?
Yeah, but the drums on that song are fucking awesome.
Oh yeah, it's a great it's a great song. I mean, Dave A is fucking the man. But I just like. Oh, I mean, I don't know if you can speak to that, but
it
like
it's weird in bands, man.
I guess so.
But you gotta, it's so weird. You gotta understand, and I mean, I don't know shit about that situation or whatever. I mean, but it's. I think that's such a messy situation because I know what it's like to like replace a band member. Right? That sucks. But guess what? I wasn't replacing a band member in Pearl Jam. One of the, like, they're huge at, the, you know what I'm saying? They're huge at the time. And and they don't know how to deal with it. They're learning, in some cases it seems, the hard way how to deal with it. I mean, they're so young. When I think about how idealistic or the way my idealism showed itself when I was in my 20s, I mean, of course, I look back and I go like, you fucking idiot. You know what I mean? You were a kid.
Yeah.
And I imagine everyone in that band looks back at, you know, the time when they were in this, the biggest rock band in the world in their 20s and just thinks, oh, Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
It's just how it works.
Well, and you know, we don't know the offstage relationship at that time that Eddie and Dave had. Dave might have been like, yeah, dude, that's hilarious. You know what I mean? Like, sure. He might have been totally on board with it. Or it could be like, I mean, I work with people I just don't like, but I do it because it's my job and I have to have a job, and there's other perks that go along with my job. So, I mean, if I'm Dave A, I'm like, okay, so this one song, he's making fun of me. But I'm in a band. I get to play music every night and girls and money and that kind, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
So maybe it's not that big a deal, but it just seems like, I don't know. It's like such a weird, but that's because I've never been in like in that situation in a band. So.
Yeah, man.
But I mean, as far as like these guys now, like I feel like Eddie and Matt, yeah, are like real tight.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think Amy kind of nailed it with the, how does she say it, about Stone and Eddie are probably too similar to to have an easy friendship, though they probably respect the hell out of each other. I bet that's accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like Eddie and Jeff are tight because the whole, like, you know, we're artists, we're creative types, you know? Right. And Stone, it was kind of like, it was Stone's band, and then Eddie came in and somehow took over.
Right.
Which they touch on that. I think Stone kind of, like, laughs about it in Pearl Jam 20.
Yeah.
About, like, he just kind of, like, somehow it happened. You know, like he didn't even know how it happened, but Eddie was suddenly the leader of this band, you know?
Yeah. I would just imagine at this point in the band's relationship or career, that, you know, the fans probably think about the dynamic of those relationships more than they do at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they're probably, to a certain extent, really over all the old shit.
Right. Yeah.
And I kind of got that sense from that Eddie Jeff interview on the Bill Simmons podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Which we still need to do that, don't we?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think Mike is probably like, they all love Mike. He just seems like that type of dude that gets along with everyone.
Yeah.
He never like brings up any kind of shit. You know, he just seems like
I was always the Mike in a band.
But like, yeah, I could see that. He just seems like an innocent dude. You know what I mean? Like, there just doesn't seem like there's any kind of like negativity or anything coming from him. It just seems like he is just like laid back and go with the flow like all the time.
Yeah, but I think he's worked hard to become like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, all the, I think that's why we feel that way, is because he's had to work so hard through the addiction stuff, the Crohn's disease stuff, and to be as healthy and together as he is now, in his 50s, I guess he's in his 50s. That's the kind of person you want to be around, I think, anyway, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't totally. Know.
God, I'd love to just shoot the shit with Mike. Wouldn't that be kind of cool?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've said it before. He seems like the most approachable one. Like if I saw him, I would not like fangirl out like a crazy person. Like if I saw Eddie, I'd like fall apart. But Mike, I think I would be able to like just be like, oh, hey, dude, you know, just like totally handle myself, because he just seems like a normal, nice dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think with any of those band members, any of them, including Jack Irons, Dave A, like past members, whatever, if I was around them, but especially the main four and Matt, like, I think I would be totally cool while the interaction was happening. This is how I seem to handle things, I've learned. I play it totally cool while it's happening. But then once it's over, I kind of lose my shit. You know what I'm saying? That's when I kind of like fall apart and would kind of fangirl over the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's never going
to
happen.
I have a tendency to play it cool for like the first minute, but then it's just like a wave.
You don't
it
have the
comes
stamina
over me, and Yeah. And then exactly. I can't hold it back. I can start out cool, like, hey man, nice to meet you. And then, but then the fucking floodgates open up.
About 60 seconds later, like, you're just
babbling.
You're just a little little Brad B in shorts and no t-shirt sitting in front of the TV stuffing flour in front of into your face.
Yes. Yes. So any famous people, musicians that are listening, just give me 30 seconds and then leave.
Yeah.
Because that's like, I can do 30 seconds and be a normal human being. But once that's, once you cut me off.
I think that's smart.
I'll
I think it's a good move. I like it.
30 second rule.
Yeah. My voice just cracked. Right. That was weird.
Mm.
It's like puberty all over again. Hi, Brad.
Oh, like that Brady Bunch episode.
Oh, man, you're getting comfortable. I can hear it. I like it.
Yeah, you like that?
Kind of shifting around before we dig in here, right?
I know. Yeah. Exactly. We're done with emails. I can sit back. I can adjust the mic. How's the sound?
Hello. Yeah.
Hello. Oh, man. Thank you, Amy Wynn.
You're so settled in.
Oh,
if you'd like to email the show, the email address is singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. You can say hey on social media, and if you'd like to support, head on over to patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory. All right. Episode 140, Quick Escape, continuing to talk about the songs on Gigaton. How do you want to do this? Should we just go ahead and listen?
Yeah, I think we should just listen to it.
All right,
we'll
cool.
Do the whole.
Let's go ahead and listen through. Pop this guy on here.
That reminds me of Back to the Future.
Oh yeah,
when he's plugging in.
Yeah. Dude, that fucking bass tone, dude. It's brutal. Yeah. I love it. Dude, Jeff and Matt are just fucking crushing it on this song.
Yeah.
Tonight.
talk over it, but I love this part coming up.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. I grabbed a clip of it for later.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
We're going to revisit it.
Yeah, dude. It's just so, like, I love anytime Mike gets to go off. Such a cool song, man.
You know it's such a good, because we didn't talk hardly at all during that.
Right. I know. I kept having little things I wanted to say, and I'm like, but I don't want to talk over it.
I know. I did the same thing. I was like, this is a show, dude. You're supposed to talk. I'm like, nope.
Right.
I can't talk over this part. Yeah. All right. So one thing I will say is that in some ways, I mean, this is just such an easy Pearl Jam song to like, right? I mean, it hits all the kind of classic, it checks all the boxes. It's
right.
It's aggressive, it's big, it's loud. When you get Mike in, it doesn't sound tired or reused, but you get like classic Mike on this song, even down to some of the licks he plays, just sounds like he's got two overdrive pedals, a delay. He's just got like the Univibe on. Matt's drums are just Matt's so good at being like playing to the song. I don't know how to describe it. He can be so thoughtful in the way he plays drums, right? But this is just like caveman John Bonham just fucking beat the shit out of the drums throughout the song.
Again, it goes back to the last few albums. Not that he was bad, but he was kind of... God, I hate saying stuff that's going to sound like I'm being critical, but like... almost like stock beats, if that makes sense.
Yeah, a little bit more controlled.
Yeah, controlled. See, you're much more political than me. But this album, like, you know, I remember the first episode we did on this album. Like, I've said it, he's all over these songs.
Yeah.
And this is, like, a great example of it. It's not just a simple beat. You know,
well, and just for another perspective on that kind of a thing too, the thing to realize is that the difference in his playing, because I understand what you're trying to say and not make it sound negative, right? Because he's a fucking monster. He's one of my favorite drummers.
Yeah,
God damn.
Of course.
But you have to keep in mind too that there weren't really songs like Quick Escape on the other records, right? So the types of songs that he was playing to on those records
didn't call for
that stuff. And so if he had bashed his way through those records, it would have been like, what?
Right.
What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the dude's a fucking pro.
Yeah. And so it's so nice to have a song on this record where you do have Matt opening up like that, you know, because you don't get that all the time.
Yeah. Well, and it's like during the verses, I don't know if it's ghost notes or how you say it, but he's
it's ghost notes.
Like, okay, on the hi-hats?
No, it's on the snare.
Is it on the snare? Okay. Yeah. But it's just little stuff like that where he could just not do ghost notes and just play a simple beat, but instead he's, you know, doing those.
Yeah, so if you don't know what a ghost note is, what we're talking about is like, you know, the main snare kind of backbeat is the two and the four, so one snare, three snare, that kind of thing. So all those little, when you listen in between those main snare beats, you'll hear these little these little things in between it, and that's what a ghost note is.
I think they're called like tippy taps.
Yeah, the technical term, when you're going through the fundamentals in drum schools, they start you with the tippy taps.
The tippy taps in between the two and the four.
Yeah. But then you get the tappy twos is the the second level. And you just kind of work your way up until you get to, you know, your classic paradiddles, the things that people know about. You know,
right?
Single stroke rolls, that kind of thing.
When do paratiddles come in?
We don't talk about that, Brad. We don't.
It's the advanced course.
Yeah,
I'm way over people's heads now.
Yeah, we should just probably shut this part of the conversation down right now. But
just edit this out. This is more bleeps and bloops this week.
Yeah, right. The and you had mentioned. Let's look at some of this stuff. I pulled some clips. So, you know, one of the ongoing conversations, and this isn't a bridge, it's more of a turnaround kind of thing, but here, let's just listen to it. I love this section, kind of comes out of nowhere, but then once it happens, you're like, oh, it makes total sense. But this right here. I mean, it's just that kind of fucking in-your-face drum march snare thing with a kick. And, I mean, technically they're just riding on an E minor chord, but the only melody that's happening is the keys, that, like, piano, dum, 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 and it's just noise. And it's just, it doesn't... It shouldn't make any sense, but it's fucking great.
Well, the thing that sticks out to me is that, like, I don't know what it is, but it sounds like it's NASA, like, talking to astronauts.
Right, yeah.
In a background.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know what that clip is from.
Yeah, it's
like,
pretty cool.
Is it from, like, you know, something in the 60s or something more archival. Modern age? But, like, is it NASA? Or is it something that they just, it's fake? You know, like, made that recording to sound like NASA, you know? I wish I knew what
public
that was.
Domain,
yeah.
Clips of NASA communications or whatever, I would assume.
I wonder, you know what? When this is over, I'm going to look through... The booklet came with the record. I wonder if there's some kind of...
I've got it right here.
You have it? Do you? Yeah. I wonder if there's, you know...
Let's see here. I know there's not anything about that on the page for the song, but I'm looking at the back here to see if it gives any extra, like... Let's see.
Well, we have our resident NASA listener, Amber. Is it Amber? Now I feel like a dick.
Man, you got to get that name right before you jump off the ledge and say it out loud.
Yeah, I know.
That's one thing I've learned about doing a podcast. Yeah, I know we have a listener anything here
that works at NASA, and her name is, maybe she can reach out and tell
you're
us
the
what
worst.
That audio comes from.
Yeah, it doesn't say any, I don't see anything in the book, but which leads me to believe it probably is some sort of, archival public domain kind of thing, but
maybe it's from Apollo 13.
Maybe. So that part leads into the first guitar solo, right? Which is this weird, again, he's got a bunch of effects on, and it's this weird kind of discordant melody thing. I don't know. Here, we'll listen to the clip. I mean, super weird, kind of chromatic. He's got like a, he definitely has a, like a, the whammy pedal on or some sort of high harmonizer, on top of, it sounds like delay, maybe Univibe, Rotovibe kind of thing, the Hendrix-y kind of thing underneath it. But, I love it. I love that in one song, he does one of those kind of more, it's a guitar solo, but it's more of a part than him just kind of like ripping. But then we get to him ripping by the end, the way they kind of built that song, that weird bridge thing into that first guitar solo. We even talked about the second, or is it second or third verse where the synths come in?
Yeah.
It's real subtle, but it's cool. You could almost mistake it for a guitar.
Talking about building up to like a ripping guitar solo, I remember specifically listening to Big Wave. The first time I ever heard Big Wave, right, off of Avocado,
mm-hmm.
I remember thinking, oh, my God, like, they're building up to a crazy solo. I can't wait for Mike to just go off.
Right.
And then he starts to solo, and then the fucking song just fades out.
Yeah.
And that has made me mad for the last, what, 15 years? When that album come out? 06? Like, I just can't believe, like, I listen to that song and I feel like, oh, it's coming.
15 years of musical blue balls for Brad Blazek.
Yes. But now they have exploded.
Oh, come on. We could have left it there. I made a little funny.
Well,
I'm just kidding. Go for it, bro.
It was not a quick escape. It's been a long time coming.
You're like a little brother.
but that's how I feel like listening to this. Like they just jam and Mike is going off, and it's like my favorite thing in the world.
Well,
watching and listening to Mike fucking McCready.
Well, let's go ahead and listen to that second guitar solo, because it's kind of a, Jeff kind of steps out on it too with that, that riff.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
Yes, totally.
Let's listen to that real quick. Yeah, dude. Motherfucker.
Like, fuck, yes. Like, and is that, well, go ahead and play it.
All right.
Jeff is just playing the regular notes.
Yeah.
But then, like right there.
Here comes Jeff. Then he just settles into that that low end fucking, oh God, dude.
Yeah, it's really like, man, you could listen to this song like three different ways. Like you can just focus on Mike, you can just focus on Jeff, or you can just focus on Matt. And they're all killing it on their instruments, where it's not just like, it's not just Jeff and Matt holding the beat down,
right,
so Mike can go crazy. It's all three of them going nuts on their instruments. It's in it, but it all works too. It's not like a mishmash. It's fucking, it's just such a cool thing that they're all doing their thing.
Well, it just shows, I mean, the level of kind of nonverbal musical communication they're capable of with each other at this mm-hmm. point, which they yeah. were capable of that from the beginning, which is why they're such a fucking great band. But now they've yeah. had fucking 30 years or whatever it's been to hone it all in. I don't know. It just...
And that's got to be Josh Evans in there, like... mixing the levels of how you hear it.
Is oh that, my God.
Am
dude.
I saying
yes.
that right?
Oh, we're going to get to that.
Because Jeff, especially bass is always real, like low,
mm-hmm.
Volume wise, you know, like the sound of the bass is usually turned way down and drums too. But it's like, man, all three of them are so in your face when you listen to this. And that yeah. to me, that's Josh, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can only assume so, yes. I mean, he's the mix engineer, so it's the snare is so fucking loud in the verses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, criminally loud, and I love it. It's so...
Yeah.
Now, as Pearl Jam fans, from like a dummy engineer mixing perspective... Right, like you're used to loud drums. If you like the Brendan O'Brien records, that's a lot of drums, man. Like when you really pay attention to it, the guitars aren't that loud. Those records are, I mean, they're definitely there. It's a guitar band, but
mm-hmm.
The Dave A records, especially, I mean, it's drums and vocal in your fucking face,
right? Yeah,
and
yeah.
While there have been songs like My Father's Son, some stuff where, like, I read a thing where that growly bass on that song is a bunch of overdubs. Like, he probably overdubbed, like, what on its own sounds like really shitty, like, fieldy, corn, like, clanky bass thing, but that's also, mm-hmm. that's doubling a really kind of fat, thick, low-end kind of bass tone underneath it, and so you blend all these things together, and I don't know that that's what's happening here, but it definitely, some extra love and special sauce was given to the bass during the mix of the yeah. song, for sure. And it just sounds so badass, because it's not even, I don't mean it's an easy part, but it's not like some cheesy bass solo. He's like takes the... He's riffing off of the riff. It's like he's right. playing some like yeah, higher yeah. harmony version of kind of how the riff feels and makes it this yeah. lead part. And how Mike kind of, he's still playing, but at that point, it's like he lets Jeff take over the quote-unquote movement or busyness, and you start hearing Mike fall back into more like holding out notes over a phrase. And not so much playing a lot of like quote unquote lead stuff. They're kind of, that whole section is almost like a jazz quartet or something that mm-hmm. they're each taking their yeah. turns for a little solo thing. They're each taking their eight
yeah,
bars.
Yeah, totally.
And it starts with yeah. with Matt kind of doing that, like some of the drum stuff leading into it. And then Matt kind of solos again at the end. That's how the song kind of falls apart. And actually we're right. gonna play a little bit of that. Let's listen to that real quick. Some of his fills are just like, God bless, man.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Yeah.
That he's like just fucking playing the groove, and then he's adding those fills in. But then that my favorite fill is where he's like chugging along, and then he kind of flips the beat, and he does this ka ka da ka 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 da ka, and then back into it. It's just like, fuck, man, it's so musical. Sorry, did I go too far with that one?
I love it.
I just get real excited.
I love how excited you. Yeah, dude. I love how you get excited.
Yeah, Matt.
But that's. I mean, that's the drummer in you and the drummer in me. That's why we. I think why we love. Part of why we love this song and this album so much is because he does come alive on this album.
Yeah, man.
And we know he could do it because we've heard all that early Soundgarden stuff. And I know, we've talked about it. Pearl Jam is not Soundgarden. And like you said, those songs from the last few albums didn't call for it. That's why I'm fucking psyched that these songs do lend to old school Matt Cameron.
Yeah, man. Whoever said this song, there's a few of them on this song. Or on this record, sorry, on this song. Well, let's talk real quick. I don't have a lot to say on it, but since this is an episode about this song, lyrically, I just think it's, I think it's cool and fun, and his use of, you know, like we talked about on the record episode. Let me find the line. Where is it? Why can't I find? Am I thinking of the wrong song about Freddie Mercury and? Oh, here we go.
No, that's
I'm
this.
An idiot.
Yep.
Yeah, Queen cranking on the blaster, and Mercury did rise. It's so fucking obvious, but such a cool, fun line. You know?
Yeah. No, I mean the lyrics are just they're kind of different. You know, it's like a sci-fi adventure in the lyrics. And that's not, you know, that's not Pearl Jam. That's not Eddie. But it's fun. It's this song is weird in that it's kind of upbeat musically, but it's also kind of dark at the same time. And the lyrics kind of go to that too. It's like, at first it's like, oh, they're like, you know, they're on an adventure, but then that's kind of the fun part. But then it gets kind of dark when they talk about Trump fucking up the earth. And then like, we have to literally leave to go to another planet. Like it gets a little dark too.
Yeah.
But Eddie's just a master with the wordplay.
Yeah. It helps it. Cause he is talking about something that he probably feels pretty strongly about or is a serious thing for him, but he's doing it in more of a kind of fun play on words, tongue in cheek kind of way, I guess, which I like.
Yeah,
I like
it's not that. So in your face.
Right. But at the same time, it's got one of the most in your face lines of the whole record. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He actually mentions Trump, you know, which.
Right. Yeah.
Clint and I had a conversation about that. He was like, that kind of bums me out. And I'm like, I don't feel either way about it. Like, I don't, but I understand what, like, Clint's saying. He's like, doesn't that just kind of, like, automatically kind of date it? And I'm like, yeah, but they also wrote a song called Bushleaguer, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think you're gonna get it at some point. Everyone, whether you agree or not,
but
like we've said, everyone knows where this band stands.
I don't know. I feel like Trump's going to be with us for a long time.
Oh, well, you know, yeah, for sure. Yeah, so, one way or another, No, I agree. I know what you're saying.
I don't know if it dates it so much, you know. But then again, I mean, when Bush was in office, it was like I couldn't imagine a time where we would look back on the quaint old Bush administration. You know what I mean? And that's how it feels now.
Oh, totally.
Like, I long for...
Bring them all back.
For the days of silly George W. Bush.
Mm. Oh, man. Times change so fucking quick.
I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait for that to be reality. That fucker's out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We might not
about
make
five
it.
More years.
But yeah, back to the lyrics. It's I think it's funny that it took me, I don't know, 5 or 10 listens to realize that he's saying had to quick escape. I thought he was just saying like, hey, hey. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just kind of vocalizing.
It's that gang that, vocal.
The
with,
had to part. Yeah.
It sounds like it's him and Jeff and Stone maybe, or him and Jeff and Matt, yeah, or totally. Something like that.
I see Jeff. When I hear that, I totally see Jeff singing that part. So
with his
I
Lemmy microphone?
Like yeah. Yeah, dude. Exactly. Exactly.
I love, if I was a bass player and I sang backgrounds, that's what I would do, I think.
Yeah.
Have like that high up. Where I have to like look up into the ceiling to sing to
him. Yeah. He looks cool doing it.
Jeff is fucking cool.
Yeah.
It makes me realize how uncool I am. It's true though, man. They're all pretty cool. But they're not. They're like they hear shit like that and they're like, dude, I'm not that cool.
Eddie's not cool. I'm just gonna say it.
Dude, like, I love the guy. He's never been cool.
But
that's the problem.
Yeah, I don't think he. Yeah, he's never been like a cool. Like a, he's just a cool guy, and I don't mean that as a put down.
No,
I'm saying like he like a hip dude. He's never been like a Fonzie type. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
When like he's cool, he's never been cool, and now that he's like a dad, you know, in his 50s, he's really not cool.
Oh, and he's got girls.
Right.
Oh,
he's awesome. But he is awesome.
No, but personality like Eddie, and then you have what was he have 2 or 3 girls?
I think two. It's 2 at least.
Yeah,
I think it's 2.
Oh my God, dude, he's no longer a man. They have sucked
right.
all of the masculinity.
Yeah, dude, talk about.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And not in a bad way. Just like he's already such a sensitive person.
3 like strong women. Forget it. Dude, it's over.
Toast, man. I mean, I feel that the way, and I just have 1 boy, you know?
Right.
Couldn't imagine. If I had a girl, oh my God, she would be.
Yeah.
I could never say no, I don't think. So it's a good thing I don't
but
have
a girl. He's making it.
Yeah, man. Well, I don't know if there's anything else to talk about. I think we pretty much covered it for right now, but
yeah,
again, love that song, man.
It's so good. It's really good. And on an album full of great songs, it's up there as one of the best.
Oh, for sure, man. Well, that was fun, man. I'm glad we did this one today. I think I needed that.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I feel good.
I feel better.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, we're going to get out of here. Again, if you'd like to email the show, singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. Say hey on social media. And if you'd like to support, you can go to patreon.com, patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory. Until next week, I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek saying, Jesus greets me, looks just like me. It's so good. Relevant 20 years later.
Unfortunately.
All right. Goodbye. Yeah. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, I sounded like the AOL guy.
You did.
Goodbye. No, wait. Goodbye. Wait, I can get it.
I fucked
Goodbye.
Up.
There it was. I think that was it. Goodbye.
Bing bong.
5-1. 1-3-5-3-1.
What's that?
It's the major triad. 1-3-5-3-1-5-1.
What's a major triad?
A chord is 3 notes.
Guitar speak?
The oh, one, okay. The 3, right. And the 5 in the scale. The first note, the third note, which is a major third, and the 5th. Got it?
Of course. Yes.
Bye.